6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report, the podcast. I would like to remind everyone, it's not Netflix destroying theaters. It's the $22 popcorn, the $9 soda, and the $8 M&Ms. My name is Drew. I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, always, is my brother, Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good, man. Happy New Year. How was your evening?
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty low-key New Year's. We kind of just stayed home, played some games, invited a couple family members over, but nothing, like, super extensive. How about you?
We attempted to have people over, and people started dropping like flies because everyone's getting sick.
Yeah.
So yep. It was kind of funny. It was kind of crazy. It was like, oh, they're not coming because they're not feeling good. Oh, they're not coming because he's not feeling good. Oh, nope, she's not feeling good, so she's staying home, but they're coming. Like, you're just like, what's happening?
Fun stuff.
And then a couple people showed up, and then they're like, yeah, we got to go home and deal with the dog. So you're just like, okay. Yep. Yep, it was kind of goofy, but it is what it is. So,
I was going to say, maybe when they said deal with the dogs, they were talking about the demo dogs, and they were going home to watch the Stranger Things finale, which... Drew, I guess we don't have to bury the lead. Neither of us have watched yet, so that's fun.
Yeah, I know. So we're coming to the show a little unprepared. I'm, just to be clear, I have watched everything up to the finale, and this is that thing that we've complained about. We've talked about it a couple times. Why would you drop it when you have people over, when you have family stuff going on, right in the middle of the holidays? So the plan is, as soon as you and I turn off the microphones, my butt is going to be plopped in a seat to watch the finale. That is the plan. So you and I will have a nice rousing conversation, and then we'll, I'll go watch the finale of Stranger Things, and we'll be back to, discuss later. I do feel that this finale, even though it is 2 hours, based on everything where I'm sitting, has a lot of heavy lifting to do to wrap up everything. Just saying, they have it's a very heavy lifted thing. I know there's people online already talking about the finale, so our review will be a little bit late, but that's just my thought. It's a lot of heavy lifting for that final episode. So fingers crossed.
And that's what I was going to say. There's people talking online, and like, honestly, I don't really mind the whole like holiday drop for the Stranger Things, like, you know, segments of this last season. I don't mind that they're dropping stuff on Christmas and then you have that holiday weekend after Christmas to catch up. I mostly mind just people posting spoilers on social media. And it's kind of ridiculous that, like, last night was New Year's Eve. Everybody had parties. Everybody had stuff going on. And, you know, we all can barely fit it in. And people are already posting, like, ridiculous spoilers online. So I guess that's my main message, is just stay off of social media as best as you can. But what were you going to say there, Drew?
I was just going to say, I haven't seen... spoilers. I have seen I haven't seen spoilers, but I have seen the very kind, hey, I enjoyed the finale, they did a nice job, I can't wait for everyone to see it kind of posts.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, or like, yeah. Hey, that episode was the episode did a lot of heavy lifting, for example. But I do feel it was a nice closure to the show. You know what I mean? So I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, but I haven't seen any like straight spoilers.
For sure. I've seen like one mild spoiler, but I've been like really, or actually I think I've seen a major spoiler, but it was presented in a very mild way. And I can actually get into that next week when we've actually watched the show.
Sure.
But it's, I've been doing my best to avoid social media, but like there are those moments, like, you know, before we recorded this podcast, like, you know, just having your coffee in the morning, killing time. It's just sometimes too easy to open up Twitter or Instagram. And then you see some Stranger Things post and you're like, crap, what am I doing? Why did I do this? But it is what it is. We'll have definitely a full review next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, should we jump in and read it?
Yeah, what have you watched over these holidays?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just kind of had the Christmas holiday. I actually had like a number of days off this year. And of course, I'm thinking like I had like a 6-day weekend around Christmas. It was awesome because that hasn't happened to me for quite some time. And of course, I go into that thinking like, oh, I'm going to watch so much stuff. I'm going to, you know, catch up so much on my list of media that I've been meaning to catch up on. And of course, like, you never have enough time. There's family parties going on. You're doing last minute and stuff like that. I've had less than I did. Just run through some really quick things to get a chance to watch. But Strange Things, watching the season. Oh, keep it.
Pete. Before you go any further, you are cutting in and out like real bad. Can you hear me?
My apologies for that. I've been able to hear you clearly the whole time. So,
yeah, you've been popping in and out here and there, like in the last couple sentences you said. So that's why I wanted to stop you real quick before you said anything like too important. I think the gist of what we got is pretty clear, so I'm not too worried about it. But what do you got?
It'll be fun to listen back on this too to see how much I pop in and out as well. But,
yeah.
Are we good to go? Should I keep talking or?
I think you're good. I just wanted to stop you there real quick and hey, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. So all I was saying is my wife and I every night are still just kind of rewatching through Stranger Things between like drops of this new season. So that's been super fun. And again, I'm hoping this finale is really good so we don't feel like that rewatch has been a waste. You know, if it's something really disappointing and it's just like, what have we been doing this whole time? But right now we're like close to the end of season 3. And that's been pretty cool because season 1 and 2 I watched multiple times after they came out. But season 3 and 4 I've only watched once. So, of course, there's a lot of details that I forgot. But also, like, my big takeaway with season 3 is it's a lot better than I remembered it being. Like, I remember thinking that, like, when you go into season 3, like, the first episode, I remember thinking that the pacing was really off and it didn't feel right for whatever reason. But upon this rewatch, I'm actually really enjoying it. And like just binging through the series, I feel like season 3, like the pacing actually feels a lot more spot on than I remember. So I guess that's one thing to keep in mind is just like, don't shy away from rewatching stuff because sometimes it's a lot better than how you remember it. The other thing that we finished watching is, I don't know, have I talked about Welcome to Derry, the finale of that yet at all, Drew?
Remember, because you've brought up the show a couple times. I thought you did.
Okay, fair enough.
Unless this is a new watch, so.
Yeah, I know I've mentioned the show. I couldn't remember if I mentioned the finale of the show or not, but Welcome to Derry is really awesome. For some reason, I feel like I didn't follow up on it, but the show's really great. It's one of those things where the acting is like amazing, like especially Bill Skarsgård like really shines. And the last episode has like some amazing imagery, like when it comes to the way that Pennywise's appearance is altered into the fact of like before the episode opened, he was kind of like just soaking in a pit of blood and body parts ready to hibernate for a while. But then he comes out of that pit and the whole like look of like Pennywise where like half of his face, like the lower half of his face is just like red, like crusted blood stain, like is pretty epic looking and was like a really good way to differentiate himself from the rest of the series. But also like Welcome to Derry, I think it answers a lot of questions. Like it kind of shows us a little bit of why it takes the form of Pennywise the Clown, but I actually feel like they still have to answer a lot of those questions there too, because they kind of show like a hint of why he presents himself as a clown, but they don't show all the ins and outs of that. So I'm like really looking forward to that. But no, Welcome to Derry's awesome. Definitely looking forward to more seasons. And then the only other thing I really got in to watch was I did check out the movie Red One, which Drew, I know you've mentioned before.
Yeah, I watched it last Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it came out last year, and then I was just behind, but we were watching something else on Prime, and Red One like automatically played after it, so we checked it out. But I thought this movie was really fun. I've heard super mixed things, but to me it was just kind of this fun version of like, here's a Santa Claus Christmas movie, but presented as if it was like a Marvel film. And I thought it was a really good time. I didn't necessarily take it super seriously, which is kind of the way I go into most films starring The Rock. But I didn't like go in like expecting it was like a Best Picture nominee or anything. But I thought it was pretty fun. That's, I don't know if I have too in-depth thoughts on that, but Red One, I think, was pretty good. I remember when this came out, my, Drew, our dad, like, hates this movie, apparently. Like, I remember
does he really?
On and on. I remember going to a few family parties and him just being like, we watched Red One and it was the worst movie I've ever seen. And so I kind of want to pick his brain to know like why he hates the movie so much. But I thought it was
or you want to make well-timed Red One references and jokes.
That's a good call as well. I'll have to line those up for kind of have a late Christmas party going on this weekend, so I'll line some of those up.
Exactly. But, like, so when someone makes a Santa Claus joke, you're like, yeah, like in Red One. Santa Claus, like in Red One.
Absolutely. I love Santa Claus from Fortnite. What do you got this week?
All right, so I got some big stuff for you. So obviously Stranger Things, we'll bury the lead on that because, you know, I watched everything up to, and then I'm going to be watching the finale later. So far, I think the season's been well. I know there's some people online complaining about some certain things. There's like a really big quibble I have, but that's for a conversation for, in my opinion, offline. Okay. But
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I just, that's more of a... It's a story beat that had no purpose whatsoever, and it drives me nuts that it existed in the show.
One thing I will say, and like, I know we've been kind of going back and forth about Stranger Things stuff, but I do feel like we're getting into a situation similar to the show Lost, where a lot of people watched the previous seasons, but they didn't really watch the previous seasons. So like, there's a lot of tidbits and like things that people are forgetting, and so they're presenting that stuff online as like inconsistencies in the story, and you're sitting there going like, well, were you even watching the show? And I feel like we're running into a lot of that with this last season. But
were you actually paying attention? I'm with you, because that's the thing, like that's that thing where I always complain about people staring at their phones and not actually watching the thing they're supposed to be watching. And then they're absolutely. They didn't talk about that. I'm like, yeah, they did. It was all in dialogue. You know what I mean? Because the way I watch stuff is I hang on every line of dialogue. I hang on every visual cue. I watch for the camera changes. I watch for the plot devices, all that stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really try and soak it in, because to me, everything is content, right? So anyway, all right. So the first thing I watched, speaking of plot devices, I watched the new Naked Gun movie.
Oh, how is this?
So this was a lot of fun in a lot of ways, and really, really stupid in a lot of ways. it's kind of like they understood the assignment, right? So they played it straight, just like the other Naked Gun movies. They had all the physical gags. They had all the visual gags. They had all the prop gags. They had all the one-liner jokes. They had all the subtle humor that's going to make you laugh a lot. And then there's a couple moments where you're just like, wow, this got dumb real fast. And then they get back on track, and then they derail a little bit and they get back on track. Right. There's all these like little bits like that. It's short. It's not a long movie. Couple quick side jokes that I like that really hit me hard is you've probably seen the trailer. So they show that bank heist where he's like the little Girl Scout or whatever, or a schoolgirl with a lollipop, right? Okay, so that's the opening of the movie. And when I watched the trailer, I figured that's probably the opening of the movie. But the guy, what they're stealing from the bank or the safety deposit box or whatever it is, it's a safety deposit box. The object they're getting, he opens it up and it's this computer looking device that almost is like, almost has like a smartphone kind of a tech look to it. And he turns it over and it says plot device on the back, which I thought was hilarious.
That's awesome.
But plot is an acronym, PLOT. I don't remember what it stands for. They do tell you, but it is an acronym. So you're like, what does that mean? But it does say plot device on the back, which I thought was hilarious. There's a scene where they're at a crime scene and he takes notice of an object. And he goes, oh, and he puts on an evidence glove on his left hand, but not his right. And then he picks up the object with his right hand without the one without the glove on. I thought that was really funny. There's a door, like while he's walking through the police station, he passes a room that looks like a giant refrigerator and a guy comes walking out of it carrying a box, like a filing box. And above the door, it says cold cases. I thought that was really funny. There's like I said, the visual gags, and then they play everything hyper straight. Overall, it was fun. It derailed a little bit here and there. And ultimately the movie was kind of silly and dumb, but they understood the assignment. They knew what they were doing. So yeah,
right
there you
on.
Go.
That sounds awesome. I'm excited to check this one out. Is this streaming anywhere right now?
It's on Amazon right now.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I'll try to check that out soon. So.
I watched Knives Out. Wake Up Dead Man.
I have not checked this out yet. So
I really am not thrilled that I watched that movie. It was not good. In my opinion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first two movies are like leaps and bounds better, in my opinion. The characters I did not care for. The story I did not care for. He, as a detective, kind of didn't do anything. He doesn't really do anything. He doesn't really offer any real sage advice. I found out later on that he was paid $1 million a minute of screen time. And, I think that lent to the fact that he didn't do anything. And it was just, I felt like the whole movie to me felt like it was phoned in, and the crime just seemed very like, unbelievable, if you will. I don't know. I really didn't dig it. But I mean, watch it, but I would definitely pass on this movie as a whole. So
that's crazy. And this one I was so excited for. And it's one of those things where it dropped right around the same time as this new Stranger Things season.
Yep.
And I've been wanting to watch it, but it's just like, it's almost like bad timing for Knives Out, because I'm just so focused on like, well, I'd rather rewatch Stranger Things than this right now. So I'm that's kind of crazy and kind of sad to hear, I think.
Yeah, I know. And I totally... By all means, watch it and give me your opinion, because that's what that's how we run this show. But at the same time, I was like, what is this? Like, I was bored through most of the movie and I didn't buy into it at all. I thought it was dumb altogether. I was in for probably the first maybe half an hour. And that's where I started being like, wow, this movie's not good. And then I started like kind of picking it apart. So, yeah.
Well. I mean, I guess we always have those first two movies, at least, so.
I know, right? I know, the first two I loved. Yeah. I thought they were great. Yeah. All right, so the final thing that I have for you is Avatar Fire and Ash.
Yes, how is this?
So I went to the theater to see Avatar Fire and Ash. So here's what I'm going to say. First off, the movie was opened up by two very important things. First and foremost, it opened up with an Avengers Doomsday trailer. Which was kind of dumb and stupid. And I say that in the sense that we got a teaser trailer for Avengers Doomsday where they showed all the backs of the chairs with all the names of the actors. And that was wonderful. They had my money at that, and it was great. That was everything I needed. I don't need anything more. This trailer, and I'm going to describe it in its entirety. You hear the first couple notes of the Avengers theme, like on like a piano. And you see a motorcycle driving through the countryside. And the motorcycle pulls up to the house that you see Steve Rogers in at the end of Endgame. And a guy gets off the motorcycle. You can't see his face yet. And as it's walking up to the house, you see Steve Rogers. Chris Evans, Steve Rogers. The first and foremost thing that I'm going to tell you right now is Chris Evans has been the guy saying for years, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. Yeah. No one is going to believe anything anyone in the Marvel Universe ever says in the realm of I'm not coming back. It's basically, sure you are. Right. So anyway, so you see Steve Rogers. He walks into the house. He takes his Captain America suit out of his bag and lays it on his bed. And then he picks up a baby, which is probably his and Peggy's child. And then that fades to black, and it says, Steve Rogers will return on Avengers Doomsday. End of trailer.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. And anyone who thought you were going to get anything substantial, there is nothing there at all. And we also got a Thor trailer released recently, earlier during the Christmas week, that is almost identical, where they show you absolutely nothing. There's nothing to be excited of. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. And there's two more of those trailers coming, which I don't really know what that means. But I was very underwhelmed, and it was kind of like, okay, so we can't believe anything any actor says, and that was a waste of my time. I'd rather have you just shown me the trailer with the chairs again. That's my criticism. Thank you, Marvel. The other thing that happened was, for anyone who did not go see Avatar in the theater, you all got a Odyssey trailer. Did you see that, by the way?
No, I haven't watched it. I've been like horrible lately.
It's okay. But... it's okay. The Odyssey trailer is an Odyssey trailer, an actual movie trailer cut together like any other trailer we'd expect. If you were in the theater for Avatar Fire and Ash, the movie was before the movie opened, you actually got to watch 6 full minutes of the Odyssey.
Yeah.
Not a trailer, 6 full minutes. And it was the Trojan horse sequence from the Odyssey. And it was freaking amazing. The music,
awesome.
The acting, the action, all of it was absolutely amazing. And it made me like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this. And the sequence ended and I go, I don't want to watch Avatar. I want to watch this.
Right.
Right. So that's how we led into Avatar Fire and Ash. Odyssey looks incredible. Avengers Doomsday right now, in my opinion, is a little underwhelming because I think like they don't want to show us stuff. So it's kind of like, so don't show us stuff, right? Don't show us anything. Just say, hey, here you go. Here's another, show me more chairs. I'll take that. I'd rather have that. Yeah. So Avatar Fire and Ash, the movie opens. It looks gorgeous. It looks beautiful. You're catching up with your friends. Where have they been? What are they doing? This picks up so closely to the end of, what is it? The water, Breath of the Water? Is that what it is?
Oh, sure. The Avatar 2.
I don't know. Yeah, Breath of Water, right?
My head. Yeah.
Yeah, it picks up so closely to the end. I want to say within like a week or two. Right?
Okay.
You actually see scenes of Jake Sully doing diving down to the sunken that giant ship that they sunk into the water at the end of Avatar 2. He's actually diving and trying to retrieve the weapons and ammo and stuff. Because he's like kind of gearing up for the possibility of what comes next. But as you meet everybody, the movie is actually narrated by Jake Sully's kid. It's not narrated by Jake Sully anymore, which I thought was an interesting departure. Neytiri is obviously dealing with some loss of a family loved one because her son was killed in the second movie. One of her sons was killed. The movie shows you a lot of cool new stuff, like all the Avatar's movies have. The movies have done. They've always expanded the universe. It's got some really gorgeous action sequences. However, here's the negative: the story beats for Avatar 3, Fire and Ash, are almost identical to the story beats from Avatar 2.
Right.
To the T, where I was like, okay, we should be going into third act right about now, and I know exactly what's going to happen all the way to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was left with, well, Avatar has shown me all of its tricks.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's how I felt when I finished the movie. I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was a waste of my time. I think it's the longest of the Avatar movies. It's almost 4 hours in length, which is crazy. But it literally, I just felt like I watched Avatar 2 a second time with some extra stuff in it. almost like sure. a director's cut version of Avatar 2. You know, it was weird. I'm like, this is not like it followed the exact same story formula. And I'm like, well, you've shown me all your tricks, I guess. But again, visually, it's awesome. The fire Na'vi are actually really cool. The leader of the fire Na'vi, she was awesome. Just not just as an actress, but as a character, she was probably one of my favorite parts. And like, anytime they cut away, I'm like, no, go back. I want to see more of what's going on over here. Like, you know, so, and then Giovanni Ribisi's back. He's great chewing up the scenery. yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, and it felt like it pulled from Avatar 1 heavily. And then for like a lot of the characters and things that we haven't seen in a while, and then fully was all of Avatar 2. It was crazy. I'm like, yep, I just watched the same movie again. So that's, I don't know how I feel about it still. I just kind of was like, wow, I just watched that movie again. Can I go watch The Odyssey now? You know, like...
I've heard very similar things about Avatar 3. Like, I've heard people say, like, it feels a lot like Avatar 2. It feels, like, kind of repetitive. And that's honestly not what I want to hear, especially from, what, like, a 3.5-hour movie or whatever it is.
It's so, almost 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this one eventually. But I do think that James Cameron needs to do something to, like, to you know, just to mix things up with these Avatar movies, because I do feel that what you're saying, that they're getting predictable, and I actually thought the ending of the first one was pretty predictable as well. So I feel like they need to do something to like twist the concept on its head, and I don't know what that would be, but just give us something new, you know. But still excited to check this one out, probably mostly for the visuals, but yeah, excited to see this one eventually.
Yeah, I do look forward to your opinion, but that's where I sit on it, and I just. if James Cameron makes another Avatar, I think he needs to go back to the drawing board and look at what made the world special, in my opinion. But like I said, visually, it was cool. I did see it in 3D again, because that's the format intended for Avatar, right? So, yeah.
Sure, sure. I'll watch it on my iPhone at some point, so.
There you go.
Not here yet.
Break out those 3D glasses.
Better to see IMAX 3D for sure. So
yeah.
But yeah, is that all you got for this week?
Yeah, it is. I was like, cool, I'm coming in with some big stuff, and yeah, there we go. Let's hop over to news real quick, because there's a handful of things. Most of these are very quick. All right. Netflix has cut a deal with Amazon. All the Bond films will be streaming on Netflix at some point soon.
Oh, cool.
So they've struck a deal, because Amazon owns it, but I don't even think they're streaming on Amazon right now. I actually haven't looked. I just know Amazon owns the Bond franchise. When I saw this, I was like, oh, that's neat. I don't know if I've actually looked for it on Amazon. I know I went looking for No Time to Die when that hit streaming, because I saw it in theaters. I wanted to watch it again because I hadn't bought the Blu-ray, but at that time, but so I looked at that point, but Netflix is going to have all of them for a little while, which is kind of cool. So if you're looking for a Bond marathon or to catch up on like the Daniel Craig's, because you didn't get a chance to see No Time to Die, it's going to be there for you. Apparently, and this is kind of cool because I thought it was such a fun movie, is we got a Bullet Train 2 in the works.
Oh, that's awesome.
It sounds great on paper. And you got excited, because I got excited too. My only concern with this was the movie was such a cool, unique thing. Sometimes a sequel is not necessary. So please don't damage the original. You know what I mean?
You know,
that's my only criticism there. So.
No, I think you've got a really good point, actually, because Bullet Train did feel like very, like, it was very cool. It was like this really fun action movie. I felt like there was like, you know, like maybe bits of Guy Ritchie or Tarantino like thrown in there. But it was just kind of this cool, bombastic, fun action film. And I think you've got a really good point, because you say Bullet Train 2 and on paper it sounds great. But then it starts making me think of like, you know, From Dusk Till Dawn 2 or like any of the Crow, sequels or, you know, stuff like that, where it's like this great, amazing action movie. But then the sequels end up kind of being like B movies, like straight to DVD sort of things. And we might be in that sort of situation. Yep. But again, on paper, it does sound badass.
Where you got excited, your reaction was exactly what mine was.
Yeah.
Until I went, wait. This is such a cool thing. Like, please don't mess that up. In the realm of cool things that we don't want to see messed up, we apparently have a District 10 coming, which would be a sequel follow-up to District 9. Again, a cool, unique, amazing film that was nominated for Best Picture. Please don't mess this up with a sequel. Now, the sequel does have Neil Blomkamp returning. So with him in the driver's seat, I have higher hopes, if you will. Right?
Yeah.
So
I think this sounds awesome. My real only concern with this one is just it's been a long time since we've, you know, since District 9 came out. So, like, I'm super excited about this. Like, I bet it's going to be amazing. It's just one of those things. I hope the audience is there because it has been a long time, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of things that take a long time, you want an update on Jamie Foxx's and Todd McFarlane's Spawn movie?
Of course. Am I going to have to change my most anticipated movies from last week?
Not in any way whatsoever. What we're looking at the news is that the script is finished.
Okay.
That's it.
And so. I'm back to just not taking any announcements seriously, because there was a while, like, if you go back and listen, going into 2019, this was one of my most anticipated movies for that year. And it's definitely a case of, like, Todd McFarlane is, like, writing and I believe directing this movie. That might have changed, but he's spearheading this thing and he's talking way too much, way too ahead of time, and we're not seeing the results. It reminds me a lot of if you go back and think about all the movies and projects that Kevin Smith has announced that just never came to fruition, this seems like a similar case. Either way, when this movie does come out someday, you know, in 2030, when we're watching this in theaters, I fully expect this to be my favorite movie of all time. I am so excited for this, but it's just hard to contain the excitement when all these announcements keep getting made and nothing coming from it, you know?
Yep, I know. Welcome to 2026. Here's all the stuff we're excited for that we're not going to get. Absolutely. Speaking of stuff that this one is going to change your anticipated movies, we have a new Resident Evil movie in the works with Mila Jovovich returning.
Oh, wild. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that because the last one was absolute shit. I have no problem complaining about the final Mila Jovovich Resident Evil. But if there's going to be any, like, hey, we're doing this again and we're going to, like, really, like, focus on what the original was, then, you know, maybe. You know what I mean? But.
So I know Netflix did a TV series for Resident Evil. Do they have the movie rights as well? Is this going to be a Netflix project? Do you know?
It doesn't say. It just said in the works. So I was like, oh, interesting. Which means it's probably in that discussion pre-production. We've got cast that's interested to come back and all that nonsense. But we don't have anything to tell you right now because we're not Spawn. So we're not going to give you any information at the moment. In all seriousness, I really want that Spawn movie to come out. I'm just like you. I'm so tired of getting, like, updates that don't mean anything. And you're just like, come on. Will you just, like, show me a picture of what he looks like in the costume or something? Right? So.
With the Resident Evil announcement, though, this is just very weird. It almost makes me feel like the show that came out wasn't as successful as they hoped. And now they're like, all right, go back to the drawing board. Let's bring Alice back. Let's go back to this old movie series, which I love the Resident Evil movies. You watch, you know, the first three and they're good. And then kind of after that, they stop being legit movies and they're kind of just weird strings of ridiculous action sequences. And that's kind of what I expect from this new one. But I'll definitely check it out because we are going to probably be in store for some badass action at the least. So,
yeah, right. All right. Apparently, we have a solo Wolverine movie in the works at Marvel. Hugh Jackman said, my gut says it's not done, which harkens back to Ryan Reynolds' joke in Deadpool 3. You're going to be doing this till you're 90. I don't know how true this is. If it's an actual thing, I wouldn't be shocked. I totally expect this to happen, but yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. And And from what I've heard, Hugh Jackman actually really loves Wolverine. Like, I don't know if he still says this, but I have heard quotes from him in the past saying, like, this is his favorite character he's ever portrayed and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's pumped for it. We're all pumped for it. My only thing is I'm just worried that Marvel is kind of getting to the same place as, like, maybe Resident Evil, like we were just talking about, where it seems like they're retreading on a lot of old tactics and strategies and stuff like that, and I'm hoping that they're not like running out of new ideas in that way, but we'll have to see how it plays out, you know.
Yeah. Let's see. In a very strange move, which I didn't see coming, Sony buys Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the Peanuts in a $460 million deal. I have no idea what this means for the future of the Peanuts universe, but Sony now owns them, so I can imagine you're going to get another movie or two or that kind of thing, but just, or a revamp of the television show, who knows. I just thought that was an interesting, oh hey, in the midst of all the stuff with everything going on with Warner Brothers and Netflix and us trying to like decode that, Sony all of a sudden buys Peanuts out from everybody, and I feel like that's the real juggernaut, right? So
I mean, yeah. I think we're going to get some animated Peanuts movies on Netflix, just since, like, Sony does so much stuff with Netflix to begin with. So this is interesting. I feel like, and I don't know if Sony and Netflix are owned by the same parent corporation, or I don't know how it all shakes out. I just know, like, Sony and Netflix, like, a lot of Sony stuff goes straight to Netflix and stuff. Like, if you look at K-pop Demon Hunters, for example, so I don't really know, but I kind of feel like Sony and Netflix are just trying to take a page out of Disney's book and just start buying up everything, you know? And
right.
In a couple of years, this conversation might get a lot more interesting, I guess. So
I know. All right, I got three more news stories for you. So first off, we had our Barbenheimer. Get ready for Doomsday. Warner Brothers reportedly refuses to move the release of Doom 3 away from Avengers Doomsday.
Oh, cool.
Which I think is crazy. So we got Doom 3 and Avengers Doomsday releasing on the same day. And I think Warner Brothers is going, hey, you guys don't have any Best Picture nominations except for one. We have a possible third in a franchise of Best Picture nominations. We're not budging.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting as we get closer to Doomsday. So there you go. That's the new box office battle.
I think it's awesome. Like, it's just Warner Brothers like not kowtowing to, like, you know, Disney and stuff. It's just them just going like, no, we've got this movie, and we actually think people might be more excited for our big movie than yours, so we're just going to release it. So I think this is an awesome move. This is the kind of stuff that I kind of wish, you know, Warner Brothers would have done more so, like, back in the DCEU days and stuff like that. But yeah, this will be pretty awesome. And, you know, the most important thing, we're all going to love that weekend at the movie theaters either way. So that's the important part.
Double feature. Here we go.
Hell yeah.
All right. Here's the first science story of the year. You ready?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Scientists just confirmed that our dreams were real in another reality. This is interesting. This gets real complicated. So I'm basically going to give you the synopsis of the story and feel free to look it up after that. A new wave of theoretical physics research suggests that dreams may not just be imagination, but snapshots of parallel realities. Scientists exploring quantum theory and the multiverse model argue that the brain may access alternate versions of reality during sleep, where events, choices, and identities unfold differently. While not yet proven as physical fact, the idea is supported by mathematical probability models that show multiple timelines can exist at once. In this theory, dreams could be windows, not fantasies. And I'm like, as I read through this, it was, like I said, it gets like theoretical science kind of complicated. And I'm just like, it was fascinating to read. But I'm like, this is cool.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I've always had that idea. So here's the idea, right? Jennifer Lawrence, off the top of my head, right? Let's say have you ever had a dream about like someone, but you don't get to see their face?
Sure.
Okay. Let's say I had a dream about Jennifer Lawrence And I wake up one morning, the next morning going, oh, hey, I just had a dream about Jennifer Lawrence. That was cool. What if she had the same dream, except she couldn't see my face? Right.
Okay.
Right. Like, I always thought that'd be a cool movie. I just don't know how to wrap a script around that. Like, I had this dream about this person and I know everything that happened. Right. They had the mirrored dream, but I'm the character in their dream that they couldn't see the face of. I thought that'd be kind of cool, and vice versa, right? Suddenly I have a dream where I can't see the person's face, but they're having the dream, but it's specifically that person. Like, you know, I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. But like I said, I don't know how you wrap a script around that to make a movie.
Yeah,
but if that's the case, I know I had lunch with Jennifer Lawrence in some reality. Anyway.
Sure. Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, this is really exciting, but it's also kind of a disappointing story, because you think about, like, some of my dreams are actually pretty cool, you know. But as far as that, like, movie idea, I do think you have something there. Like, it is a cool concept. It might take some time to, like, you know, brainstorm, like, some more ideas and workshops. But I do think you have kind of a cool beginning concept. So
right.
Maybe that'll go somewhere and you can write, you know, Shutter Speed 2 or whatever it is.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, good stuff.
All right, here we go. This is the last piece of news. This is a little more mind-blowing. It's really not important. I just was more like, what? One Piece, the anime. Now, I'm very excited for the live-action show coming.
I know exactly where this is going. This is awesome. Keep going.
I'm very excited for the live-action show to resume its next season. But One Piece, the anime, has been running for over 1,000 episodes. It is a very daunting thing. Apparently, if you watch 5 hours a day, which really isn't, no, 5 episodes a day of the anime, you can finish all 1,000 plus episodes in like 300 and some days, which is kind of crazy. You can actually burn through a lot more, burn it through a lot quicker than I thought you could.
Yeah.
But it's been running for over 26 years, and One Piece has closed the door on its first era after an unprecedented 26-year run for more than 1,000 episodes, what they're referring to formally as Season 1. Which, that's the crazy part. You're like, hey, we're done with Season 1, and you're like, you're looking at the content going, excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then beginning in April, the series is going to shift to a seasonal release structure, which will change. This change represents a significant production reset, signaling a new rhythm, blah, blah, blah. But I just was like, it's been running for decades. And they're like, hey, Season 1 just ended.
Yeah.
And I know
I
just know there's someone sitting on a couch somewhere going, Season 1, when do we find out what the One Piece is? Anyway, you were saying.
No, it's amazing. I really laughed at this story as well. Do you know, does One Piece release year round? You know, like, is it like one of those things like every week, like all 52 weeks of the year?
No, because I don't know how the structure is. And I say that because I watched the live action, loved it, went to give the anime a try, watched a large chunk of the anime. But it sits there on my, like, things that we picked for you on Netflix, and it tells me constantly when new episodes are coming. I just don't know how many episodes, because it says episodes. It's not like new episode released.
Yeah.
It says episodes incoming or next week released or something. It's always popping up and letting me know, and I'm like, good God. Like, the amount of content that gets pumped out for it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's amazing, because when they say it's like, this has all been one season, it makes me feel like it's just been like year round, like every week. And I know, like, it takes time to like dub episodes and bring them to America and stuff. But like in Japan, I didn't know if this has like been like a weekly release for like so many years. And I feel like I mean, maybe it isn't that, but I feel like calling it one season, it makes me think that it's like that, because honestly, like how do you not say it's a season, you know, when you have like breaks between episodes and stuff? But either way, amazing story, super meme worthy, and I'm just loving the people like talking about, like, just all the memes I've seen about this one have been great. So good stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the news. Do you want to talk about tonight's list?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, everybody, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
for the top five.
Right, Peter. Here we are. It is 2026. First episode of the year, first list of the year. And this is kind of like one of those built-in, pre-existing, we do it all the time kind of things. But this is our favorite, or the TV shows we're excited about for the coming year, for 2026, because there's a lot of television coming aside from the films and stuff we watch. So I don't know how I found this list insanely easy to do, because just like our movies, there is a ton of television content coming.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you felt. I don't know like what this was for you, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. It's kind of one of those things, like if there's a number of series that are out right now that you like, you know, there's a lot of either spinoffs or sequel seasons coming out and stuff. So that's pretty easy to round out your list. But I thought this one was pretty easy as well. There is some like pretty cool stuff coming out next year, though, that we're excited about. So, I guess I'm just kind of with you. I thought it was pretty easy to put this all together.
All right, man. Do you want, I don't remember who went first on the things. Do you want me to go first? Do you want you to go first? Actually, I think I should go first because next week's, I don't know. Next week's your pick anyway. How about this? I'll go first this time and I'll be going first next week anyway, because it's your pick. So.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. I guess that works.
Yeah. Either way is fine. You just tell me what you want to do. I do have two honorable mentions though. So.
I do as well. So,
all right, cool. Am I going first then? Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Perfect. All right. So my first honorable mention, this is one that I've been waiting for a while. And I actually pseudo forgot about it. And that's just because they've taken so long in between, seasons, and that's, For All Mankind. I guess the final season is, releasing this year. I thought it was going to be next year, but For All Mankind, that's the space show that starts with the moon landing, but Russia beats us there, so it's like an alternate history kind of thing.
All right, okay.
It's a really, really great show. Highly recommend it, especially if you like space stuff. And it's like real world space, and then like the progression of how America gets to where it is, how we like eventually colonize Mars, like all the like the way it all lays out. It's really kind of, it's brilliant. It's very intelligently put together, and they've just done a great job with it. So what I believe this is the final season, but yeah, it comes out at some point this year. So
awesome. Yeah, I haven't checked this one out yet, but yeah, that's pretty awesome. This is actually a good reminder of that show in general, so good stuff.
It's on Apple. And if you're looking for something to watch, and I know you have access to Apple, so if you're looking for something, hop on, take a look at it. So
yeah, absolutely. I guess I can move into my first honorable mention. This one, I've actually mentioned this show a couple times recently. I remember why, because we did an HBO series episode a few weeks ago. But I actually went with Euphoria season 3 as an honorable mention. And this one, I just know like Euphoria season 1 was like pretty crazy from like a shock value standpoint, but Euphoria season 2, I feel like that's when it started to get into just like really good storytelling, where it was just like really suspenseful stuff was going on. It was one of those things like every week just looking forward to it. Euphoria season 3, I'm hoping it's just as good as season 2 was, but it is a little bit weird because Euphoria season 2, I think, came out in like 2020 or 2021, so it's been some time, and I'm kind of curious if the hype is going to live up for this season as well, just because of that like huge break, you know, considering there was a pandemic in between like the third and second season and stuff like that. But still, I'm expecting that this one's going to be fun, at least from just a bonkers crazy sort of storytelling standpoint. So there you go.
Yeah.
What do you got for us next?
Just to be clear, these are shows that either A, we've talked heavily about how we're excited to watch before because they're like a repeat season, or new stuff that we've already discussed that's coming. So since we can't watch it and review it, this is probably going to be a pretty quick list. Just warning you guys.
For sure.
So the next honorable mention I have is Lanterns.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this. I'm kind of like, it's making that honorable mention list only because I don't really know what I'm getting out of it. The teaser that they released was so bizarrely not like at all what I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, what am I getting out of it? What is it entirely? Like, I know we've gotten the descriptions and stuff. Like, my favorite character is Hal Jordan, but it sounds like he's not going to be in the show as much as some of the other ones. Like, what, you know, where does it land on this? So yeah, there you go. I guess we'll see when it drops. That's going to be later in this. That's going to be like mid-summer, I think, is when that one comes out. But yeah, mm-hmm. Lanterns is my second honorable mention. So
this one I'm really excited about as well. Just, you know, having like a Green Lantern live action series. It sounds amazing. I think what's weird about this one is I feel like I'm worried that it might be a little too grounded almost. Like you were saying, the teaser trailer and all of the sort of promo images and stuff, it kind of looks like a really grounded, realistic, like almost like buddy, I don't want to say buddy cop because it doesn't look like super comedic necessarily in that way, but it does almost look like that really grounded, like almost like buddy cop sort of format. And that's what's making me confused, because if this takes place in the same universe as like the recent Superman movie where Superman's like fighting like giant, you know, axolotl looking kaijus in downtown Metropolis, why does the Lantern series need to be so grounded looking? But yeah. Either way, I mean, I've loved everything else out of the new DCU stuff. So I'm this one's highly anticipated for me as well.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we have more to share. what's your next one, man?
Yeah, so another DC show. This one's a little bit of a wild card, though, because this is a series that was supposed to be released either this year or the year before, and it had to be postponed. But I went with My Adventures with Superman Season 3, the animated series. And this one, I think, is like a really, really cool, kind of like super accessible Superman animated series. And I say it's super accessible because it's almost crafted for like the new viewer. Like, you don't know anything about DC Comics, you can just sit down and you can watch the Superman series, and there's really concise storytelling, and it kind of has like an anime flair to the whole thing, and it's just like really, really fun. But Season 3, again, this is a postponed season, and they haven't released an official date for like when the series is going to come out, but it's supposed to come out this next year, so that's why it sits as an honorable mention for mine. But I loved the first two seasons, so I'm excited for this one as well.
What was this at all chopping block when James Gunn took over? I feel like we haven't heard enough about this. Like, I feel like this one, you and I haven't really talked about it since the James Gunn takeover. You know what I mean? Like, where does it sit? Do you know? Are we for sure that we're getting it? Or is this like a final season thing because, the James Gunn slate's completely different now?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I think where this one sits from what I've seen is that it is like the season is officially coming out, at least from what I was seeing, like while kind of making my list for this episode. But I do think that this one like sits outside of the James Gunn stuff. So like this isn't connected to like Creature Commandos or anything like that. And like I said, I'm pretty sure like from everything I've seen, it is officially coming out. They just haven't actually released it yet. But as far as like, is this like going to be the final season? That's actually a really good question. And you're kind of right. Like, it is kind of making me worried now that it's not going to happen.
So, oh, I'm not saying you're not getting it. I'm just wondering if that's kind of like, is this the final bits of it because of the change that we got, you know?
And I hope that this isn't, and I hope it, like, I don't know. I feel like even though, like, as far as I know, they've said it isn't connected to the James Gunn DCU, I do feel that tonally it actually does fit pretty well with that stuff. So I kind of hope that we get more of it and they kind of embrace it as opposed to like kind of just dumping it off as like a random release. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, good questions for sure.
Sure. All right. My first actual pick. I'm going with Your Friends and Neighbors Season 2. I spoke heavily about how much I loved this show when it was on. I'm just very look forward to John Hamm stealing from his friends and more of that. It was such a fun show. I do hope that Olivia Munn is not gone, like the way the show ends, if she's like, is she going to be back at all? That kind of stuff. Kind of a little bit of a question in the air there, but, I really enjoyed it and look forward to more. So yeah, Your Friends and Neighbors Season 2.
Nice. Awesome.
You need to check that one out. That's another one on Apple. So turn on your Apple, watch Your Friends and Neighbors, check out, watch For All Mankind. So, you know.
Yeah, I do my best to not open my Apple app. No, it's more of one of those things. It's not on purpose, but, you know, we all have our go-to streaming apps, and for whatever reason, I, like, rarely open up Apple. So there you go, but I'll definitely have to check this one out. I actually kind of forgot about this series, so this is a good reminder, but I do remember it sounding, like, pretty cool when you were talking about it, so, yeah.
Yeah, all right, man. What's your first pick of the day?
Yeah, I can keep this one pretty short, but I actually had Lanterns on my list as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Wow, I all of a sudden don't know how to spell.
That's all good.
Yeah, all right, so Lanterns, cool. Yep, here we go, we'll see when it happens. All right, so the next one, The Studio. Did you ever watch The Studio?
No, I haven't checked out The Studio either, so.
This is another one that you need to hop over on Apple for and watch, because Apple, just everything they've done is just, it's just more and more, like, amazing stuff. Like, they keep dropping all this, like, fantastic stuff, and I feel like people forget about Apple over there. I really do. But The Studio is such a phenomenal show. Season 2, cannot wait. It got such high praise as a show that makes me, It basically made all these like writers and directors and like people from the Hollywood industry like, hey, hold on, we want to come play too, which makes me like really look forward to what we're possibly getting for season 2 and upcoming stories and stuff. So,
right on.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So cool, Studio cool. Season 2. What's your next one?
Yeah, so my next one kind of relates to a lot of what we've been talking on the show recently, but I actually did include Stranger Things Tales from 85, which is the animated series that Netflix is doing based around the Stranger Things universe. If you watch the trailer for this, I believe it takes place, I feel like it's a situation where it's between season 2 and 3 or 3 and 4. But it is one of those things where we're getting a lot of just like the story of like Mike and Elle and like the kids like riding their bikes around and solving like mysteries related to the Upside Down and stuff like that. And I know there's a moment in the trailer where they actually have, I don't know if it's like a demo bat or if it's like another sort of like Demogorgon-esque creature, but it's like this small like flying creature that looks pretty badass. But this one, I mean, this is supplemental material, so I don't know if this series is going to have a huge impact on the Stranger Things story as a whole. But I'm just more like, I can't get enough of this universe. I'm really excited about this. Also, like, the animation style looks really cool. Like, it's almost like they took, like, the series Arcane on Netflix, the League of Legends series. Like, it's almost like they took that animation style and then just brought the Stranger Things characters into that. But it has, like, this really cool mesh between, like, you know, it's 3D animation, but it has that sort of, like, handcrafted flair to it that looks really nice, like on a series like Arcane. So yeah, looking forward to this. Sure. One.
Yeah. I completely forgot about Stranger Things Tales from 85. That would probably have been my short list, not my final list, but I completely forgot about when I was putting this list together. Like I said, it was kind of easy when I started Googling. I'm like, yep, I'm done.
Right on.
You know. All right, so my next one, and this one's coming up real quick. We're looking at the end of February for this one, is the new Scrubs.
Yeah.
I'm actually like really looking forward to this, and with all the cast members that are returning, and there's a couple commercials that have dropped here and there, and it's just really like, this looks great, man. Yeah, I look forward to it. So yeah, there you go, Scrubs. And if you've never seen Scrubs, it's all on Hulu right now, so check it out. It's a really good comedy. But yeah, the new show, I look forward. This is great. So
Yeah, this is awesome. This one made my short list. I'm looking forward to checking this one out as well.
It's really not one that I expected either. You know, sure. Like I wasn't expecting this one to pop up. So
yeah, absolutely. But it should be pretty great, especially like you said, with all the cast members coming back and stuff like that. So yeah, good stuff.
All right, man, what do you got?
Yeah, so for my next pick, I actually went with, this is another one where I don't know the exact release date, but I'm pretty sure this one's set to come out this year from everything I've seen, but that is Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord, which is the Darth Maul animated series that they're doing on Disney Plus. Yeah. And this just looks awesome. It looks like an awesome continuation of Darth Maul's story. It has that, you know, that classic Clone Wars style of animation that looks amazing. Darth Maul is one of my favorite Star Wars characters. So this one I just expect to be like fully badass. There's been like kind of like leaked bits of the trailer. Like I've watched leaked trailer clips and stuff like that online. I don't know if they've officially released like an actual trailer from it, but I have seen some of the footage and it does look pretty amazing. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one, Drew, or if you're looking forward to this one at all. Or
so this one made my short list, and I know I'm a diehard Star Wars fan and always feel like I'm an apologist for Star Wars, but we always want it to be amazing, right? And the way that the toxic fan base has caused me to be a little wary of how the internet's going to react. And that's the problem. This will be my short list only because I want this show to rekindle my love of Star Wars in a way that's been dormant for a little while because of the toxic environment. I want to be able to leave this show going, you know what? I love Star Wars and no one's going to tell me otherwise. No one's going to shake my opinion of it or anything like that. Right. And that's where I'm hoping the show leaves me. I love the animation because it's that Clone Wars style animation. That's what we like. How many of us want that? You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of stuff where like, yes, because I think we should be doing more with that animation style anyway. I know it's expensive, but I feel like over the years, they should have been able to find a way to do it better or cheaper or something. Right. So I look at it as, I hope this rekindles my love the way I want it to. It looks amazing. I look forward to it. So there. We did not mash on this, but it's just because I was looking at it more of a shortlist kind of thing, just because of the way the fan base has been. I worry about like that first episode is going to drop and the internet's just going to shit on it. So, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, there's definitely this aspect of there's a lot of these like voices that are like, you know, these big like nerd culture voices on Twitter and stuff or on YouTube that are very like just hate on every little thing. And like after a certain point, you realize some of these YouTubers and stuff, they're basically making their living off of hating stuff. You know, like they know if they go on and complain about the latest Marvel movie or the latest Star Wars show or whatever it is, they're going to make YouTube money from that. And then you start to think like, you know, these people are just, it's like they know if they hate something, they're going to get more money. So they're basically just getting paid. They're like a paid hater. You know what I mean? And that's something that I've been noticing a lot. And I feel like this is just adding to what you're saying about like the toxic Star Wars fan base, Drew. I feel like I'm getting to the point where I know the voices online that I just need to tune out. And then the ones that I can focus on that are going to have, whether it be more of a positive approach to this media or just the voices having a fair approach. I think that's something important to keep in mind. But I also totally get what you mean. Like, you love Star Wars, Drew. Like, you're probably the biggest Star Wars fan that I know. But I do understand that every once in a while, like, you do have to take a break from, like, and you don't even take a break from Star Wars. It's just, like, your enthusiasm might not be where you want it to be. And right. I know I've dealt with that, too. Like, I love Like, I love DC Comics, I love superheroes, but there's been times when I've just, like, not been in the mood, and, like, sometimes that's when, like, big stuff is released, you know, and it's just kind of unfortunate, but yeah, it's the way things are, you know?
And you can argue, well, don't look at the internet. Well, sometimes when you're prepping the show, you gotta, like, look at, like, the news that's come in and, like, the announcements and all that stuff, and that's where you stumble on that stuff, and that's part of the issue. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that rolls back to me. All right, I'm going to say it. One Piece Season 2, and I'm referring to the live action, not the anime. Because we,
you do have to clarify that. That's hilarious.
Yep. No, I'm I really look forward to the live action was so good, and we are only like, and when I say this, we're only like a month or two away from the second season dropping, and I can't wait for it. I think it's great. And I'm going to push you a little bit more. I hope I'm not overhyping it, but I'm pushing you a little bit more. Peter, please check this out and get it on your list, you know? So
yeah, I do need to watch this. It's kind of funny. I haven't watched it yet, but maybe after this Stranger Things rewatch that I've been doing, I will. It's one of those things like, I fully intend to watch One Piece, but for whatever reason, I just haven't taken the plunge. Like, I've never had that rainy day where I'm just like, I'm going to watch the One Piece live action. But I am excited about this one. But there's a little bit of a fear there, too, because if I watch the live action One Piece, what if I get obsessed with the story and then I just have to watch the anime and then you won't see me for 7 years or something like
that? Yeah.
It's a catch up.
You only got to watch 5 episodes a day, so... You know,
right. Easier said than done. But yes, no, I totally get what you mean.
But yeah, so there you go. Live action One Piece. There you go. All right, awesome. Man, what's your next one for me?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if we will, but I almost fully expect that we'll match on our next two picks. But the next one I included was Game of Thrones, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So this is the newer spinoff series that's coming out. I'm super excited about this one. Drew, you know a lot more of the ins and outs of the story. I'm kind of more just going like, I'm just excited for more Game of Thrones storytelling. I think... Everything within the Game of Thrones universe that's been released has been amazing. The stories are always so intricate, so debaucherous, but so, like, delicious at the same time. Like, it's always just so much awesome scheming and the politics and the way the characters relate to each other. It's just, it's so fun, and we really live in a... dare I say blessed time that we're able to have so much Game of Thrones content. So I expect this one to be just as good. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one, Drew, or if we matched at all, but that's my next pick. So
we definitely matched in a sort of way. Okay. And it sounds like we match in the next two categories on my last pick. Cause mine's kind of a cheat. I said Game of Thrones in a general sense. We actually have We have two Game of Thrones television shows coming in 1 year, which is not normal. It's this is not normal for us to be dealing with. So here we go. You get Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And then we also get House of the Dragon Season 3. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, if you look at the timeline, it says it's 100, takes place 100 years before the events of Game of Thrones, right? Now, I say that because 100 years, House of the Dragon, when that show starts, it says 83 years before the 80 whatever years before the birth of Daenerys Targaryen. So Knight of the Seven Kingdoms takes place before House of the Dragon. So we're going to get that first in January in a couple weeks. And that's going to be like a 6-episode miniseries. And when I say miniseries, they're short episodes. But that's going to be, we get a nice little nugget of Game of Thrones. And then in June, we're going to get House of the Dragon Season 3, which will be the next leg of that. House of the Dragon Season 3 will be the second to last season because that's a 4-season show. And then Seven Kingdoms has already gotten their second season renewal already before the show released, but I'm just excited to get back to the world of Westeros, back to Game of Thrones. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is going to be awesome. So there you go. I don't know if you want me to go into details what that's about, because some people I think are just confused. Real quick real quick. I really do, because some people I've talked about, they're like, I don't even know what this is. Duncan the Tall is the best way of wording this. He is a hedge knight who has no allegiance to any direct house. He kind of wanders the countryside helping people as needed, right? He gets teamed up with one of the Targaryen kids because the king is like, hey, my son's going to have to rule at some point. He should probably see the world. He's going to rule. So he ends up going out with, so you got Duncan the Tall taking out the Targaryen kid, and they're going to go wander the world together, and he's going to teach him and he's going to see the world, and then you're going to get some cool epic fights and who knows. There is a book on it. It's the shortest of all the Game of Thrones novels, but it's a lot of fun. The story in terms of Duncan the Tall, if you watch the show proper, Game of Thrones, when Bran is like, after he is pushed out of the window at the beginning of the show and he's in the bed kind of recovering and he's got the, like, the nursemaid, she asks if he wants, when he in the realms of tell me a story, she says, do you want to hear stories about Duncan the Tall? You used to like those. And that's what she's referring to. So these are some of the stories that she was telling him when they were, when he was laying there in the bed. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. And my whole thing is like I haven't read this book or anything like that, but for me, it's on honestly more of a, like, if you slap the name Game of Thrones on something, I'm going to watch it, because, like, I've loved the other series so much. So it's almost like one of those, I don't even need to know what it's about. I'm just, like, in, you know, I'm there on day one. I'm going to check it out. So that's what I think is kind of funny. Like you said, you know, people who are just like, I don't even really know what this is. And to me, I'm like, well, does it matter? It's Game of Thrones, man. You know?
Right.
But yeah, good stuff. I guess
that's my technically that's my last one, but I'm counting it as, it's two that I'm counting as one because of the subject. That's why I said it that way. So, like I said, it's a little bit of a cheat. So
I didn't know if you had more, but that's my last one. I actually went with was House of the Dragon.
Okay.
And it's one of those things, like, the first two seasons were so amazing. Like I already just said, like, I love Game of Thrones storytelling and just the scheming, the behind the scenes politics. Like, it's so much fun. So I can't wait for more of this. So yeah, there you go.
Perfect. All right, man. What, it's your pick next week, man. That brings us to the end of this list, but what are we talking about next week?
Back to doing like a normal list again, right?
So, I know, it's been a minute.
my list for next week, I feel like, is kind of a goofy list. And this one will probably be pretty easy, Drew, but maybe it's a good way for us to you know, ease into the swing of things. But I kind of went on, before we were doing our holiday list, I was doing like a lot of like retro TV stuff. Like we did our top five favorite sitcom characters and like our top five like programming blocks from back in the day. And this is a list that fits in with that sort of nostalgic TV sort of thing, but this one is a list that I thought of, like, it's one of the first lists that I ever thought of for the show, and I've been sitting on it for so long because I'm always like, well, we could do that, but should we do that? I don't know, but I think this might end up for a good conversation, so we'll see how this one goes. But next week I want to talk about our top five favorite game shows. So just game shows in general.
Okay.
And I think this one will be pretty fun. There might be some nostalgic bits. There might be some newer game shows on there. The only thing I'll say about this one, because I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory, is that I'm probably going to avoid stuff like I'm a big fan of like shows like Ink Master or like Face Off on Sci-Fi and stuff like that. But those are, to me, they're more like reality competition shows. And I'm probably going to stick more with, you know, game shows proper, like your Jeopardy's or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and stuff like that. But I don't know if you're excited about this list, Drew, but it's something I've been sitting on for a long time. And
it's also one it's also one we've never done. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And since I was doing that, like that nostalgic TV based stuff before, I was like, well, this would actually fit in right with that. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, man. That sounds great. Yeah, I'm down. That should be an interesting list. I have one that has already come to mind.
Awesome. Awesome.
So yeah. All right. What, that brings us to the end of this list. Are you ready to, toss this one in the can?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope this is a great 2026 for everybody. But in the meantime, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to our social media, along with a link to our email, top5report @gmail.com. You can interact with the show. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Audible. You can subscribe to us in those places. If you do, you'll not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words we say feel important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. What about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Ninja Pierre. And that's where I'll be talking about how no one even talks about the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window anymore.
All right, everybody. For the Top 5 Report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.